الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المرسلين محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقال جل وعلا: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا. وقال جل وعلا: إنما المؤمنون إخوة. وقال جل وعلا: يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ليس منا من دعا إلى عصبية، وليس منا من قاتل عصبية، وليس منا من مات على عصبية. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قاتل تحت راية عمية يغضب بعصبية، أو يدعو لعصبية، أو ينصر عصبية فقتل فقتلة جاهلية. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: كلكم بنو آدم، وآدم خلق من تراب، ولينتهين قوم يفتخرون بآبائهم، أو ليكونن أهون على الله من الجعلان، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama, elders, brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers, the situation of the entire Muslim ummah today is that the entire Muslim ummah is disgraced. We the Muslims number a billion, but in spite numbering a billion, time after time we are humiliated by the mites of the kuffar. Time after time we are humiliated by the kuffar. There are over 50 Muslim countries. We have the most wealth. We have the oil fields, we have the gold mines, we have all the resources. But one thing the Muslims do not have today is respect and honor. The kuffar dominate and rule over us in our lands. And 1 billion Muslims around the globe do not have the courage to raise an eyebrow. O people, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he departed, before he left this world, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving an example of unity, giving an example of Muslim brotherhood, announced, المؤمنون كرجل واحد إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله. That the entire Muslim ummah, Muslims wherever they may be, are like one single body forming one brotherhood. One single body forming one brotherhood. If any limb of this body is in pain, then the entire body feels pain due to this aching limb. If the eye is in pain, then the entire body feels pain due to the aching eye. If the head is in pain, then the entire body feels pain due to the aching head. The entire body responds with fever due to this aching limb. The entire body responds with sleeplessness due to this aching limb. The entire body responds with anxiety due to this aching limb. Oh people, the entire Muslim ummah, Muslims wherever they may be, are like this single body. If any Muslim is in need, if any Muslim is in pain, if any Muslim is being oppressed in some dark corners of the world, then the entire Muslim ummah should feel this pain. The entire Muslim ummah should think that they are being oppressed. The entire Muslim ummah should respond and jump and the entire Muslim ummah should respond and jump to this Muslim's rescue. Oh people, before our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, he clearly announced, Al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'dahu ba'da, that the entire Muslim ummah is like a building composed of bricks. Each brick helps the other and strengthens the entire building. Each Muslim helps the other. Each Muslim should help the other and strengthen the golden chain of Islam. My brothers, Look how our aslaf, look how our forefathers acted upon these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One old Muslim woman was being oppressed in sin. She cried for help. Our forefathers heard her cry. Our forefathers heard her plea. And immediately the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to mind. Al-Muslimuna tadakafa dima'uhum yas'a bi zimmatihim adnahum wa yuruddu alayhim aqsahum wa hum yadun ala man siwahum. Immediately the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to mind. Al-Mu'minuna karajulin wahidin, that the entire Muslim ummah is like one single body forming one brotherhood. If any Muslim is in need, the entire Muslim ummah should feel his pain and the entire Muslim ummah should respond. These ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to mind, and our aslaf, our forefathers, responded immediately by sending an army to rescue her and save her from the oppression of the kuffar. An 18-year-old Muslim general, Muhammad bin Qasim, defeated Raja Dahir of Sindh and saved this old Muslim woman from the oppression of the kuffar. Oh people, these were our aslaf, these were our forefathers. Today, in broad daylight, they rape our mothers and daughters in Kashmir, and our mothers cry for help, our daughters scream for help, our daughters call you and I. My brothers, the only thing our mothers and daughters find is that the Muslim children of the 20th century can no longer hear. They find that the Muslim children, the children of the Ummah of Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have become deaf. In Israel, our Muslim brothers are treated worse than animals, yet we feel nothing. We feel nothing. The words of the Quran does not come to mind. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, that the entire Muslim Ummah, Muslim, wherever they may be, are brothers, the Muslims. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi وسلم المسلمون تتكافى دماؤهم يسعى بذمتهم أدناهم ويرد عليهم أقصاهم وهم يد على من سواهم. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not come to mind. The hadith of Rasulullah, المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا, does not come to mind. The hadith of Rasulullah, المسلم أخو المسلم, does not come to mind. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, المؤمنون كرجل واحد إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله, does not come to mind. Oh people, the sin of our children in Bosnia was that they were born Muslims. The Serbs used the skulls of Muslim children to play football with. We remain silent because we believe they were not our flesh. We believe that the blood running in the veins of the innocent Bosnian children was not ours. Now they make a mockery of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is insulted. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een are insulted. The name of Allah is written on trainers and dishonored. We and 1 billion Muslims around the globe pretend that nothing has happened. How true our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was when he said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُسَاءٌ كَغُسَاءِ السَّيْلِ وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. That a time will come when you will be in large numbers, when the Muslims will be in great numbers, but you will be like the scum and rubbish carried down by a torrent. And Allah will take your fear out of the hearts of your enemies. Your enemies will no longer fear you. My brothers, the reason we are failing today, the reason we are disgraced, the reason we are humiliated time after time, the reason we have no respect and honor today, the reason why the kuffar no longer fear us, the reason the kuffar are walking all over us today, is because the ummah is no longer one. The ummah is no longer united. The ummah no longer believes in the slogan, united we rise, united we fall. The ummah is no longer one, because the key to oneness, because the key to unity is love and brotherhood, and love and brotherhood does not exist among the Muslims today. I asked, didn't the Quran teach us, وَلَا تَنَازَأُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. O Muslims, do not dispute with one another. O Muslims, do not argue amongst yourselves. Do not quarrel with one another. O Muslims, do not disunite, or else you will lose your courage and strength, and your reputation will wither away. We went against the teachings of the Quran, and today we have lost our courage and strength, and our reputation has withered away. How truthful our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was when he said, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي كَمَا أَتَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ هَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ حَتَّى إِنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَتَىٰ أُمَّهُ أَلَانِيَةً لَكَانَ فِي أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ. That a time will come upon my ummah exactly like the time that came upon the Bani Israel, to the extent that if there were people from amongst the Bani Israel who committed adultery with their mothers in the open, who committed adultery with their mothers in the public, then surely there will be people from amongst my ummah who will follow the Bani Israel in this respect and commit adultery and zina with their mothers in the public. O people, إن بني إسرائيل تفرقت على 72 ملة وتفترق أمتي على 73 ملة. Remember, the Bani Israel divided into 72 different groups, and my ummah will divide into 73 different groups. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned 73 to emphasize that the ummah will divide into many different groups. Today, the ummah has divided into hundreds and thousands of different groups. The ummah is like a shattered glass. The ummah is like a broken glass. My brothers, you and I, we are aware of the fact that benefit cannot be derived from a broken glass. Benefit cannot be derived from a shattered glass. One cannot drink water from a glass that is broken. No matter how hard he tries, the water will seep out, that he will not be able to drink from such a glass. One could only benefit and drink water from such a glass that is in one piece. Likewise, the Muslim ummah can number a billion, but this billion will only be of any benefit when it unites and becomes one. My brothers, one of the things that is breaking the brotherhood of Islam today, one of the things that is breaking the ummah today and has always broken the ummah in the past, is the poison of ta'assub, the poison of nationalism, the poison of qawmiyyat, the poison of tribal boasting, being proud of our racial origins and scorning others and looking down at others. I am a Pakistani. We are it. We as a nation are the creme de la creme of the ummah. My brothers, the kuffar have always used this weapon to divide and destroy the Muslims. Majority of our elders were definitely suffering from this illness, and now like cancer, it has begun to spread within our youth. Oh people, if anything deserved and was worthy of pride, then surely it was a blessing of Islam that Allah has bestowed upon you and I. Allah has made me a Muslim. Allah has made you Muslim. Allah has made all those that are present today here as Muslims. He has brought us up as Muslims. My brothers, nobody today thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great blessing, and nobody today identifies himself as a Muslim. Today, each and every Muslim has grabbed hold of nationalism and is proud over his racial origin. The Arabs are proud of being Arabs and look down at others. The Pakistanis are proud of being Pakistani and they look down at others. The Punjabis, because they are from Punjab. The Kashmiris, because they are from Kashmir. The Sindhis, because they are from Sindh. The Baluchis, because they are from Baluchistan. The Peshawaris, because they are from Peshawar. The Gujaratis are proud of being Gujarati and they look down at others. The Baruchis, because they are from Baruch. The Surtis, because they are from Surat. The Bengalis are proud of being Bengali. The Silatis, because they are from Silat, and the Dakans, because they are from Dhaka. Every Muslim today is on an island by himself. My brothers, this nationalism, this ta'assub and qawmiyyat, and this racial pride, tribal boasting, scorning others, looking down at others, is an evil thing, because this breaks the brotherhood of Islam. Have we not learned a lesson from history? The two tribes of Aus and Khazraj, due to this illness, kept on fighting between themselves for 120 years. They kept on fighting between themselves due to this illness for 120 years. After 120 years, even then, their thirst for blood was not quenched. No power on earth could unite friendship and brotherhood amongst them. Even the treasures of the earth could not unite the two tribes of Aus and Khazraj. It was Allah and Allah alone who took this illness out of their hearts. It was Allah and Allah alone who took the hatred and jealousy due to racial pride which had torn Aus and Khazraj. And it was Allah alone who joined the hearts of Aus and Khazraj and who created friendship and brotherhood amongst them. The Quran says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. It was Allah and Allah alone who joined their hearts and who united them. If you had spent all that which is in the earth, you could not have united them. You could have not joined their hearts. It was Allah and Allah alone who took this illness out of their hearts, who took the hatred and jealousy out of their hearts and created friendship and brotherhood amongst them. And it was Allah alone who joined them. 1400 years ago, my brothers, Islam put an end to this illness. As this illness breaks the brotherhood of Islam and it weakens the golden chain of Islam. 1400 years ago, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ دَعَى إِلَىٰ أَصَبِيَّةٍ وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ قَاتَلَ أَصَبِيَّةً وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ أَصَبِيَّةٍ لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ دَعَى إِلَىٰ أَصَبِيَّةٍ. He is not from amongst us who calls towards Asabiyya, who calls towards nationalism, who calls towards party spirit, who breaks the brotherhood of Islam, who breaks the unity of Muslim and calls towards Asabiyya. وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ قَاتَلَ أَصَبِيَّةً. He is not from amongst us who fights because of Asabiyya. وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ أَصَبِيَّةً. He is not from amongst us who dies in Asabiyya. O people, مَنْ قَاتَلَ تَحْتَ رَايَةٍ أُمِّيَّةٍ يَغْضِبُ بِأَصَبِيَّةٍ أو يَدْعُو لِأَصَبِيَّةٍ أو يَنْصُرُ أَصَبِيَّةً فَقُتِلَ فَقِتْلَةٌ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. Whoever fights under a banner, the reason for which he is fighting for is not known. He does not know that the reason he is fighting for, whether this reason is just or whether this reason is wrong, but he gets flared up due to Asabiyya. He gets flared up due to nationalism, due to Qawmiyyat, due to Ta'assub. He helps due to nationalism. Remember, if this person is killed in this fight, فَقُتِلَ فَقِتْلَةٌ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ, he has died a death belonging to the days of Jahiliyyah and not belonging to the days of Islam. My brothers, two people are fighting, coincidentally one is Baruchi, the other is Sursi, or coincidentally one is a Punjabi, the other is Pathan. These people are fighting amongst themselves. The Baruchi is fighting with a Sursi. All of a sudden a third person comes. He does not know who from amongst these people is on the right. He does not know that why these people are fighting, but he gets flared up due to Asabiyya. He gets flared up due to nationalism. My brothers, he, because he himself is a Baruchi, he helps the Baruchi. My brothers, he helps him due to nationalism. Remember, if this person is killed in this fight, this person has died a death belonging to the days of Jahiliyyah. He has not died a death belonging to the days of Islam. I ask, where does this pride come from? Being proud of our racial origins. كلكم بنو آدم وآدم خلق من تراب. You and I, we are all the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Our father, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, was created from the earth. He was created from dust. He was created from such a material which has no value. You and I, we walk over this earth with our feet. We trample over this earth. My brothers, when we were created from this material, when our father was created from this material, when all of mankind was created from this material which has no value, my brothers, then where has this pride come from? وَلَا يَنْتَهِيَنَّ قَوْمٌ يَفْتَخِرُونَ بِآبَائِهِمْ أَوْ لَيَكُونُنَّ أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْجُعْلَانِ. O people, cease to boast about your forefathers, cease to boast about your racial origins, or they will certainly become more hateful to Allah than filth, or they will certainly become more disgraceful to Allah than filth. Yet again, the Quran reminds you and I for the final time. Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Ya ayyuha an-nas, O people, that is you and I. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. We have created you all from a male and a female. We created you all from one male and one female. Whether one is a Gujarati, whether one is Baruchi, whether one is Surti, whether one is a Punjabi, whether one is Kashmiri, whether one is a Baluchi, whether one is a Sindhi, whether one is Bengali, whether one is Sylheti, whether one is a Dakan, whether one is an Arabi. All, each and every one of us were created from the same male. We were created from the same female. The male being Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the female being Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. Thus, we are all equal because the origin is the same. Our father is the same. Our mother is the same. Thus, لا فضل لأربيين على أجمعين. An Arab has no excellence over a non-Arab. ولا لأجمعين على أربيين. A non-Arab has no excellence over an Arab. ولا لأحمر على أسود. ولا somebody aswad ala ahmar illa by taqwa. Somebody red in color has no excellence over somebody black in color. Somebody black in color has no excellence over somebody red in color. Oh people, waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu. The reason we made you different color, different in color, different caste and tribe, was that so you recognize one another, was so that you identify one another. We did not make you different in color. We did not make you in different tribes and races so that you use this as a criteria of perfection, so you use this as a criteria of excellence and scorn others and look down on others and break the brotherhood of Islam and break the unity of Muslims. Remember, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that the criteria of grace, the criteria of respect and honor, the criteria of perfection and excellence in the eyes of Allah is not family and race, but it is piety and purity. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa amalikum. Allah does not look at your faces. He does not look at the color of your faces. Allah does not look at your origins. Allah looks at your heart. He looks how clean the hearts are. He looks what is inside these hearts. And Allah looks at your a'mal. He looks at the deeds that you do. This is a criteria of perfection. Piety and purity are not race and family. My brothers, the Quran has clearly said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, that every Muslim on the surface of this earth is a brother to another Muslim. فَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Let us learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let us live like brothers. Let us treat one another like brothers, and let us love one another like brothers. Let us learn from our Salaf. Let us learn from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. They were from different nations. They were of different tribes. They were of different colors. They spoke different languages. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from Ethiopia. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from Persia. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from the Rum. Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from Ghifar. Hazrat Tufayl radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from Dos. Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was Umawi. My brothers, in spite of their color, caste and clan, these people, their love for one another was greater than that of real brothers. When the Muslims of Makkah migrated to Medina, the Nabi of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, established brotherhood between the Muslims of Makkah and the Muslims of Medina. When Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu migrated to Makkah, the Nabi of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established brotherhood between Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Sa'd ibn Rabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdurrahman was of Makkah, hundreds of miles away. Sa'd ibn Rabi was from Medina. Abdurrahman ibn Auf had never seen Sa'd before. He had never met Sa'd ibn before. He had never talked to Sa'd ibn before. Likewise, Sa'd had never seen Abdurrahman before. He had never met Abdurrahman before. He had never talked with Abdurrahman before. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has just established brotherhood between Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Sa'd ibn Rabi. He has just said to Abdurrahman, Abdurrahman, you will take Sa'd as your brother. Sa'd, you will take Abdurrahman as your brother. My brothers, Abdurrahman ibn Auf has migrated from Makkah. He has left each and everything he possessed in Makkah. He sacrificed each and everything he possessed for Islam and for the Nabi of Islam. He is coming empty-handed. When Sa'd ibn Rabi sees his brother Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he says to him, Ay akhi, ana aksaru ahli al-madinati mala, fanzur shatra mali fakhuzu. Oh Abdurrahman ibn Auf, you are my brother. I am one of the richest men of Medina. I am one of the wealthiest men of Medina. I have the most wealth. Now that you are my brother, now that the Messenger of Allah has established brotherhood between you and I, my wealth is at your disposal. O Abdurrahman, take half of my wealth and do whatever with it you please. وَتَحْتِ إِمْرَأَتَانْ فَانْظُرْ أَيَّةَ مَعَاجِبَ إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى أُطَلِّقَهَا. I am married to two women. I have two wives. Go look at my wife. Whichever pleases you, take her. I will divorce her for you so you can get married to her. Do we have two Muslims like this today? Do we have two Muslims in the Ummah of Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will do something like this today? The hadith narrated by Abu Jahm ibn Huzaifa can be found in Bayhaqi fi Shu'b al-Iman. He says It is the battle of Yarmouk. Intalaktu yawm al-Yarmouk atlabu ibn ammi. In the battle of Yarmouk, I went in search for my cousin. He says, وَمَعِشَنَّةٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ لِأَسْقِيهُ إِن كَانَ بِهِ رَمَكٌ. Thinking that my cousin has been fighting all day. Thinking that my cousin will be tired. My cousin will be desperately in need of water. My cousin will be thirsty. He says, I took some water for my cousin. I looked everywhere for my cousin, but my cousin was nowhere to be found. فَإِذَن بِهِ يَنْشَأُ. Finally, all of a sudden, I saw that my cousin was in the very thick of battle, and he was in the last throes of death. My cousin was lying wounded. He was thirsty. He was desperately in need of water. I had bought some water for him. He says, I asked my cousin, would you like some water? My cousin replied in the affirmative. He says, I advanced towards him with the little water I had. All of a sudden, فَإِذَنْ رَجْرٌ يَكُولُ آه. I heard the ah of a wounded Muslim soldier. I heard the cry of a wounded Muslim soldier. I heard the groan of a wounded Muslim soldier. This Muslim soldier was lying not far from my cousin. My brothers, my cousin was desperately in need of water. He was in the last throes of death. He was in the last throes of death. And he was thirsty. He was desperately in need of this water. But when my cousin heard the cry of a wounded Muslim soldier, when he heard the cry of a Muslim soldier who is in need of water, the hadith says, فَأَشَارَ إِلَيَّ إِبْنُ أَمِّي أَنْ أَنْطَلِقَ بِهِ إِلَيَّ. My cousin averted his face, and he beckoned me that I take this little water first to this wounded Muslim soldier. He says, obeying my cousin's command, I took this water to him. فَإِذَنْ هُوَ إِشَامُ بْنُ الْآثِ. All of a sudden, I noticed that this Muslim is Isham ibn al-As. He says, before I could even reach Hisham, yet again, I heard the cry of another wounded Muslim soldier. This wounded Muslim soldier was lying not far from Hisham. My cousin had begged me that I take this water for Hisham. My brothers, when Hisham heard this cry of a wounded Muslim soldier, though he himself was in need of this water, though he himself was dying of thirst, he begged me that I take this water first and give it to this third wounded Muslim soldier. He says, obeying Hisham's command, I advanced towards him. فَإِذَنْ هُوَ قَدْ مَاتْ. But before I could even reach him, he had breathed his last and he had left this world. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. فَرَجَعْتُ إِلَى هِشَامٍ. He says, I made all haste towards Hisham, but my cousin had begged me that I give this water to Hisham. But before I could even reach Hisham, Hisham had left this world without drinking this water. He says, I ran towards my cousin, but my cousin, فَإِذَنْ هُوَ قَدْ مَاتْ. He had also left this world before I could even give him this sip of water. My brothers, this was the love and brotherhood amongst them, and this is the love and brotherhood Islam is demanding from you. Islam is demanding from me, and Islam is demanding from each and every Muslim that is on the surface of this earth. The hadith can be found in Muslim, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إني مجهود. A man came to the messenger of Allah and said, يا رسول الله إني مجهود. I am hungry. I have not eaten for days. Hunger has put me into difficulty. I can no longer bear it. يا رسول الله, I need food. A needy man has come to the messenger of Allah. The Quran describes the messenger of Allah as being بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم. Our Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is the most kind and generous with the companions, with the believers. How can it be that a needy man comes to the messenger of Allah and returns empty-handed? Immediately on seeing this needy man, on seeing that he is suffering from starvation, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَى بَعْضِ النِّسَاءِ, sends a message to one of his wives, telling her that whatever you have inside the house, whatever little food you have inside the house, send it. A needy man has arrived. Our mother replies, لَا وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا إِنْدِي إِلَّا مَا. I swear by the one who has sent you with truth, O Nabi of Islam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nothing inside my house besides water. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message to another one of his wives. Yet again the reply is the same. La wallazi ba'atha bilhaqqi ma indi illa ma. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message to each and every one of his wives, telling them, get whatever food you have, send it. Yet again, our mother's reply, لَا وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا إِنْدِي إِلَّا مَا. We swear by the one who has sent you with truth. O Nabi of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, you have asked for food, but there is no food in our houses. There is nothing in our houses besides water. Our mothers were going through difficult times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks the Sahaba, مَنْ يُضِيفُ هَذَا اللَّيْلَ. Who will take this person today? Who will take him home and give him food? Who will entertain him as a guest tonight? فقام رجل من الأنصار فقال أنا يا رسول الله. A man from amongst the Ansar, on seeing that his Muslim brother is in need, on seeing that his Muslim brother is in pain, on seeing that his Muslim brother is suffering from starvation, my brothers, immediately he stands and he volunteers, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, do not worry, I will take him to my house. He returns home and he asks his wife, Hal indaki shayun, tell me, is there any food inside the house? The guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to come to our house tonight. A needy Muslim is going to come to our house tonight. His wife replies, La illa kutu sibyani, oh, there is no food inside the house, and you have brought the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, listen very carefully to what he says. He tells his wife, فَعَلِّلِيهِمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَإِذَا there is no food inside our house besides a very little, which is just sufficient for the children. He tells his wife, فَأَلِّلِيهِمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَإِذَا أَرَادُوا الْعَشَىٰ فَنَوِّمِيهِمْ. Give the children something to chew on when it is time for the evening meal, and our children, our flesh and blood, cry for their food, ask for their food. Do not give them anything to sleep, eat. Lull the children to sleep. Put the children to sleep without feeding them. As the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to eat the food of our children. فَإِذَا دَخَلَ دَيْفُنَا فَطْفَئِ السِّرَاجِ. When our guest enters, then put out the lamp and we will pretend and we will sit with him and we will pretend to eat. It is evening, it is nightfall. The guest enters, the wife does as her husband has ordered. She puts out the lamb and they sit with the guest and they pretend to eat with him. They give preference to their guests over their children, over their flesh and blood. Their flesh and blood cried and cried till they finally fell asleep hungry. My brothers, when this Ansari, when he visits Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam next morning, the Messenger of Allah says to him, قَدْ عَجِبَ اللَّهُ مِنْ سَنِئِكُمَ بَدَيْفِكُمَ. That Allah has appreciated your entertainment with the guest last night, that you gave preference to the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You gave preference to a needy Muslim over yourselves and over your children. You went to sleep hungry, your wife went to sleep hungry, your children cried and cried, and they finally went to sleep hungry, and you gave preference to your guests. Allah has appreciated your entertainment with the guests last night, and the Quran is revealed from the heavens. وَيُسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. They gave preference over themselves, though poverty may become their lot. This was the love amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. And this is the love and brotherhood Islam is demanding from you and I today. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum narrates, one of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and who received a goat's head as a present. He was desperately in need of this goat's head. But he thought of a Muslim brother, he thought of a neighbor who had a larger family and was in greater need of it than himself. He took this goat's head, though he himself was in need, and he gave it to this Muslim brother, to his neighbor. When this second Muslim brother received this goat's head, though he had a large family, though he himself was desperately in need of this goat's head, he himself thought of another Muslim brother, thought of another neighbor who he considered more in more need than himself. And he took this goat's head and he gave it to this third Muslim brother. My brothers, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, لَقَدْ تَدَاوَلَتْ سَبْعَةُ أَبْيَاتٍ رَأْسَ شَاتٍ يُؤَثِّرُ بِهِ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا وَإِنَّ كُلَّهُمْ لَمُحْتَاجٌ إِلَيْهِ حَتَّى رَجَعَ إِلَى الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي خَرَجَ مِنْهِ. That this goat's head changed hands 7 times. 7 times this goat's head changed hands. Every time a Sahabi, though he himself was in need of it, he thought of another Muslim brother and he gave it to this other Muslim brother as a present. My brothers, like this, the goat's head changed 7 times till it finally came back to the original person from whom the circulation had started. Let us learn from these people. Let us learn from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Tradition tells us that Masruq owed a heavy debt. His brother Khaisama radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also in debt. Masruq, though he himself was in debt, when it came to his knowledge that his brother Khaisama was in debt, he went and paid Khaisama's debt off without his knowledge. When it came to Khaisama's knowledge that Masruq was in debt, my brother, though he himself was in debt, he went to pay off Masruq's debt without his knowledge. This was the love and brotherhood amongst them. The hadith can be found in Bukhari, narrated by Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, دَعَ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ الْأَنْصَارِ أَنْ تَقْطَعُ لَهُمُ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. Once our Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم called the Ansar so that he could give them the land of Bahrain. My brothers, look how they reply. They reply, لَا إِلَّا أَنْ تَقْطَعَ لِإِخْوَانَنَا مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ مِثْلَهَا. O Messenger of Allah, we will not take this land till you give a similar share to our immigrant brothers, till you give a similar share to the Muhajirin. This was the love and brotherhood amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. And this is the love and brotherhood Islam is demanding from you and I today. And Islam is demanding from each and every Muslim that is walking on the surface of this earth today. When love for one another was greater than that of real brothers, when all the believers were united in the golden chain of Islam, when they all believed in the slogan, united we rise, united we fall, my brothers, powerful empires melted away like snow before them. Have we forgotten the Battle of Badr? 313 Muslims went to fight 1,000 kuffar. Picture this in your mind's eye. The state of the 313 Muslims was such that many of them, their clothes are torn. Many of them, their faces are showing signs of starvation. They hardly have any weapons. Many of them are carrying sticks. Many of them are carrying broken spades. Many of them do not have shoes or sandals on their feet. They are walking barefooted. Many of them have never fought before. They do not know how to fight. This was the state of the 313 Muslims, and they went to fight 1,000 proud men, 1,000 kuffar. The kuffar, they are 3 times more than the Muslims. The kuffar are well prepared. They have the latest weapons of the time. They are wearing armor. They have swords in their hands. They have 100 horses. They have 700 camels. They are waiting to put an end to Islam. They are waiting to remove the Muslims from the surface of the earth. This is the situation. This is the state of the kuffar. This is the situation of the two armies. My brothers, the difference is the Muslims, though they are 313, their hearts are clean. Their hearts are full of iman. Their heart is full of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love for one another. Their hearts are clean and they are together, they are united. The kuffar, though they are 1,000, in reality they are 1,000 separate pieces. My brothers, when they fought together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of the enemy. The 313 were victorious and the 1,000 were defeated. The 1,000 kuffar were defeated. Have we forgotten the Battle of Muta? In the Battle of Muta, the Muslims numbered 3,000. The kuffar were over 200,000. They were more than 200,000. If one is questioned today, two different armies are ready to go to war with one another. One has 3,000 troops. The other has more than 200,000 troops. Tell me who is going to be victorious and who is going to be defeated. I'm sure the reply will be the same. There will only be one answer, that the 3,000 will be defeated and removed from the surface of this earth and the 200,000 will be victorious. The Muslims proved this philosophy wrong 1400 years ago. In the Battle of Muta, the Muslims were 3,000. The Kuffar numbered over 200,000. Yet again, the difference between the Muslims and the Kuffar were the 3,000 Muslims in reality were one single body. Their hearts were clean. Their hearts were united. And their hearts were full of love and brotherhood. The Kuffar, they were 200,000 plus. In reality, they were 200,000 separate pieces. At the time of war, when they fought with one another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of the enemy. The 200,000 were defeated and the 3,000 Muslims were victorious. This is the benefit of unity. This is the benefit of love and brotherhood. When love and brotherhood, when love was greater than that of real brothers, my brothers, such was the power of one Muslim that he could walk into the land of the kuffar and send waves of terror in the hearts of the kuffar and return alive and come back in one piece. It is the battle of Qadisiyah. 3 days before the battle of Qadisiyah, the kuffar want to meet with the Muslims. The Muslim general is Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu chooses Hazrat Rabi'i radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to meet with the kuffar. Hazrat Rabi'i radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he reaches the bridge, the kuffar stop him. And they inform Rustam of his arrival. Rustam consults the great men of Persia. Ma taraun, O great men of Persia, tell me, what is your opinion? Anubahi am natahawal? Shall we show greatness? Shall we adopt bravery? Or shall we adopt gentleness? They all chose the latter. Let us be gentle, they said. My brothers, the best carpets of Persia were laid. The best rugs of Persia were laid. The best beds and couches were set. No decorative equipment was spared. A throne of gold was set for Rustam. He wore a garment of fine silk. He took his place. The great men of Persia took their places. The noblemen of Persia took their places and waited for the Muslim to come. This was the situation of the kuffar. And now comes the Muslim. Now comes Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He's riding a horse which was lean and short. He's wearing an armor. He has a turban on his head. In his hand, he has a shining sword. He has with him a shield of cowhide. And he has with him bow and some arrows. And his clothes are torn. This was the state of Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he reaches their carpet, he is told to dismount. Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu ignores the kuffar, فَحَمَلَهَ عَلَى الْبِسَاطِ, and he ascends the carpet and forces the great men of Persia, the noble men of Persia, to move from their places. He keeps on riding on the carpet. After a short while, he himself dismounts. Remember, he is alone. All the kuffar are watching. He is in the land of the enemy. The army of the kuffar is there. The noble men are there. The great men of Persia are there. The king of Persia is there. And Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu is by himself. They are all watching. He dismounts. He takes one of the pillows. He rips the pillow, one of the best pillows of Persia. He rips it in two pieces and somehow ties his horse to it. They are all bewildered. They are all stunned. They are all gobsmacked that this is the courage of a Muslim in the land of the enemy. Thereafter the courtiers say to him, "Dha' silahak," lay down your arms. He replies, "Inni lam atikum fa adau silahi bi amrikum." I have not come to you, so I laid down my arms at your bidding. O kuffar, antum da'awtumuni. It was you who have called me. And if you do not like the way I have come, fa'in abaytum an atiyakum illa kama urid wa illa raja'tu. If you do not like the way I have come, then I will return. Go tell your king. Rustam is informed, and Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu is given permission to come as he pleases. Reclining on his lance, Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu walks slowly, taking short steps, poking its sharp point everywhere, ripping their carpets, their rugs, their couches as he passes. And they are all watching, and they are all bewildered and stunned. When he reaches the king, he does not sit on their carpet. He sits on the floor and he thrusts his lance into Rustam's carpet. Rustam asks, "Ma ja'a bikum?" Tell me what has brought you. My brothers, he replied, Allahu ibta'athana. Wallahu ja'abina linukhrij man sha' min ibadati al-ibad ila ibadati Allah. Wa min dhiqi al-dunya ila sa'atiha. Wa min jawri al-adyan ila adli al-islam. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Only if you understood what these words mean. He said, Allah has raised us and sent us to take out those whom He pleases from the servitude of men to the worship of Allah alone, and from the narrowness of this world to the vastness of the hereafter, and from the tyranny of religion to the justice of Islam. Rustam, when he hears this, he says to his people, O you fools, لا تنظروا إلى الثياب انظروا إلى الرأي والكلام والسيرة. O you fools, do not look at his clothes that they are torn. Look at his judgment. Look at his power of speech. And look at his habits. My brothers, Hazrat Rabi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu returns. Next day, the kuffar want to meet with the Muslims again. And they want to meet with the same person. This time, the Muslim general, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sent Hazrat Uzaifah ibn Mihsan. Hazrat Uzaifah radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes exactly in the same manner as Hazrat Rabi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he reaches the carpet, he's also told to dismount. Subhanallah, listen to his reply. He says, ذَلِكْ لَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ فِي حَاجَتِي. That I would have dismounted if I came for my own need, if the need was mine. Go ask your king, أَلَوْ الْحَاجَ أَمْ لِي. Is the need his or is the need mine? If your king says that the need was mine, then your king is a liar and I will return. And if your king says that the need was his, then Huzaifa will come as he pleases. When he reaches the king yet again asks the same question. Tell me what brings you. He replies, Allah has sent us to call people to one of three things. Immal Islam. Embrace Islam and we will move on. We will return. Immal Jizya. If you do not want to embrace Islam, then pay the tax and we will protect you like we protect our own. And if you do not want to pay the tax, then the third thing is Immal Saif. War. The king on hearing this said, there is peace in your religion for some days. Before you wage war, you give the opposition time to think. He replied, yes, 3 days. Starting from yesterday, today is the second. Tomorrow, we will remove you from the face of this earth. My brothers, he returned. Rustam says to his people, O you fools, have you not seen what I have seen? جاءنا الأول فغلبنا على أرضنا وحقر ما نؤظم. That the first man came yesterday, as Rabi'i radiallahu ta'ala an, and he dominated and ruled over us in our land. He walked on our carpet. He rode on our carpet. He ripped our pillow. And yet, we could not say anything to him. He considered those things that we consider great, he considered these things despicable. Everything that we possess will go to them because they have more intellect. This was the power of one Muslim. When the Muslims were together, when the Muslims were united, when love and brotherhood prevailed amongst the Muslims, this was the power of one Muslim, that he could walk into the land of the kuffar and he could rule and dominate over them and send waves of terror in the heart of the kuffar by himself and return alive. This is the fruit of unity, respect and honor. However, whenever the Muslims began to argue with one another, whenever the Muslims left the Quran and Sunnah, whenever the Muslims began to dispute and disunite, the kuffar have always and will always walk all over us. Have we forgotten what happened to Baghdad in the past? Baghdad was the capital of the Islamic world. Baghdad was the capital and the center of all types of knowledge. Thousands of jurists, fuqaha, were born in Baghdad. Thousands of muhaddithin, masters of hadith, were born in Baghdad. But when the Muslims began to disunite, began to dispute one another, began to argue and divide into groups, and every group went their own way, my brothers, the Tatars came and they slaughtered 1,600,000 Muslims when they were disunited. 1,600,000 Muslims they slaughtered. All the religious, the books of religious books were thrown in the Dajla, were thrown in the river Tigris. So many books were thrown in the river Tigris that it is written in the books of history that the Tigris, its water turned black due to the ink coming from these books. It is written in the books of history that the Muslims at the time were so afraid of the Tatars that if a Tatarian woman stopped a Muslim in the marketplace and said to him, "Wait here, I'm going to fetch a sword to slaughter you." My brothers, the Muslim would become so afraid that he would not move an inch. The Tatarian woman would go home, she would fetch a sword and she would slaughter the Muslim. This is the bitter fruit of disunity, humiliation. What is it to be? Is it to be the blessings of unity, respect and honor? Or is it to be the bitter fruit of disunity, disgrace and humiliation? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. فَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانَ. Let us live like brothers. And let us love one another like brothers. And let us treat one another like brothers. Subhanallah. Look what awaits those that love one another. Because Islam says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Because the Quran says that we are all brothers. The hadith of Rasulullah says that Muslim is a brother to a Muslim. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, كَإِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ لَأُنَاسًا مَا هُمْ بِأَنْبِيَاءِ وَلَا شُهَدَاءِ يَغْبِطُهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِمَكَانِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. There are servants of Allah who are no prophets and no martyrs, but the servants of Allah, but the prophets and martyrs will envy them on the day of Qiyamah due to their high status and rank. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in heard this, that certain people on the day of resurrection, because of their high status, the prophets of Allah and the martyrs will envy them. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in asked, "Ya Rasulullah, tell us, who are these people that the martyrs and prophets will envy them due to their high status?" Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Huwa qawman tahabu bi ruhillahi min ghayri arhamin baynahum wala amwalin yata'atawnaha." They are those people who love one another, not because they had a blood connection, not because they were from the same race, they were from the same tribe, they were of the same color, they spoke the same language. No, not because of this, but because the Quran said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, that Muslims are brothers. Every Muslim on the surface of this earth is a brother to another Muslim, and Muslims should respect one another and they should love one another. These people, they loved one another because the Quran said so, because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said so. Because of this, they will receive such a status on the day of resurrection that even the prophets of Allah and the martyrs will envy them. إِنَّ وَجُوءَهُمْ لَنُورٍ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَعَلَى نُورٍ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ إِذَا خَافَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَحْزَنُونَ إِذَا حَزِنَ النَّاسِ. On their faces will be noor, and they will be sitting on minbars, on pulpits made of noor, and they will not fear when people fear, and they will not grieve when people grieve. On the plane of resurrection, on the day, on the on the day of resurrection, when all of mankind is assembled, and when the sun is above the head, and people are drowning in sweat, people are in sweat according to their sins, and hell is brought, and the gates of hell are open, and the hot air blows into their faces, and the people are so close together that they cannot even breathe. My brothers, such will be the status of these people who loved one another, that they will not grieve on that day, and they will not fear on that day, as they will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reward that waits them on the day of resurrection, and in the life of the after, Jannah awaits them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the ability and tawfiq to act upon what I have said. And Allah, take this illness out of our hearts, this boasting about racial origins, and this pride, and this nationalism. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to love one another, and respect one another, and treat one another like brothers. فَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.